1, 2.
Welcome to Two for the Road Movies with Matt and Adam.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Adam. We are a weekly movie pairing podcast. Every week we will pick a theme, recommend a movie to the other guy he has not seen based on that theme, watch and discuss.
And we have a 25-year age difference, so we've seen different movies.
And everything I've just said is a lie, because this week we're doing, this month, we're doing something a little bit different. We're doing Oscar fails, and our first, so we've been going decade by decade, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're finally in the 2000s.
Right.
So finally, like, movies I fucking remember. And we are looking at 2008, which would be the 2009 Oscars, I guess.
Right.
And we are looking at Slumdog Millionaire won for Best Director.
Right. Danny Boyle, who's made some good movies.
Danny Boyle has made amazing movies, yeah. I'm sure. Like, he's
Trainspotting.
Yeah, he's no slouch.
Yeah, 28 Days, that was really good.
Say what?
28 Days,
I think. Oh, right.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the thing. Like, so we should say straight up, one thing we always forget to say is, like, spoilers abound, right?
Right. Yeah, if you haven't seen these, watch him first and then listen.
Right. No, he's made good movies. I mean, he's not like, I like him. I'll watch stuff he does. Mm-hmm. And this movie isn't bad. No, it's just not the best.
I mean, our contention is the best director wasn't even nominated. Right? I mean, from what I saw of these two movies, yeah.
Yeah.
The best director didn't get nominated.
Yeah. Nolan wasn't even mentioned.
No. Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
For Black Knight or whatever it is. I don't know.
The Dark Knight. Yeah. Clearly not a Batman guy.
No.
But we'll get to that.
Yes.
So I guess I will start. Are you a Slumdog guy?
I enjoyed it. I mean, like I said, I think, I don't know if I mentioned last week, that I was on Millionaire. In here, in this country.
I was wondering when we were going to get to this. I was thinking the specter of Millionaire, Matt's experience hangs over this whole thing.
Yeah, it's thrilling and disappointing at the same time.
Now, were you on with Meredith?
I was on with Meredith.
Okay.
Right. And she was nothing like the guy in this. He was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually very, very sweet and fun. So... And I ended up winning $25,000, which was not a bad day's work, but I screwed it up, so I'm disappointed.
Are we going to get, like, the highlight reel here, man?
Well, I just called the wrong person.
Oh.
I used my phone a friend at $50,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What year was this?
It's 2007, I think.
2000. So everyone should have a cell phone, but not everyone does have a cell phone.
Right. And I called this ex-professor that I knew, who pretty much... But his wife answered the phone, and he wasn't home. He was supposed to be there.
So how does this work? So you notify them ahead of time?
Right.
And say, I will be calling you between 3 and 5 p.m. or something like that?
They tell me, or they call the people
mm-hmm.
and let them know. Because we're not allowed to talk to anybody. The whole setup, and it was kind of watching this movie, reminded me that, you know, once we got into the studio, there was like 12 of us or something. We weren't allowed to go anywhere alone.
You were never kidnapped by police, though.
No. But if we had to go to the bathroom, somebody went with us and stood outside and made sure nobody else was
really?
In. Yeah, the whole day.
Wow.
It's we could only be with each other or people from the show.
That's like one level stricter than our trivia team.
Right. Yeah. But it was... And so, you know, I was there from pretty much 7:30 in the morning till I think I finally got through about 5 o'clock.
They're filming the whole time?
So somebody would go on, they'd do, you know, the thing, and then they'd take a break and make sure everything is right.
What's Meredith doing in between to stay up? Is she doing a little whiskey in her coffee? Is she, like, she doing blow in the bathroom?
She's
like,
just sitting there, you know, because they're filming a whole week's worth of, in one day.
Right.
So, But yeah, she's just, I don't remember her getting up or anything, just kind of sitting there the whole time. I don't know. Maybe she did. Maybe I wasn't watching in between, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and they fed us and did all this stuff, but it was exciting. And, you know, I wish I'd done better, but.
What's up? I mean, what was the story with the professor not being there?
I think they were mad at us.
Yeah.
Because I went down to, we were in New York, and I went to try out. They 100 people, the first 100 people that showed up, they brought in mm-hmm. to try us out. They gave us a test. 8 of us passed it. That was it.
Wow.
So,
a bunch of morons in your group.
Yeah, and then they talk to you to see, make sure you get a heartbeat and all that stuff. So they said, well, you're eligible, you know, if we decide to take you, because they don't tell you then. Mm-hmm. They say, we'll send you a letter, and you'll be eligible for the next 2 seasons or whatever. So a few days later, I get a call.
Wow.
Can you be down here next Monday?
Okay.
I said, sure. So we were house-sitting for these people, uh-huh. and I had to have them come home early.
Oh, that's the person you called?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I should have called my brother, because it was a... He had his computer, and it's just the biggest mistake of my life.
My God.
I had it in my mind to call this guy, because the guy knows everything.
Yeah.
And I
he also knows how to hold a fucking grudge.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really know. He wasn't there. And he knew the answer.
And so there was no... You never called him afterwards and said, hey, by the way, how come you cost me, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars?
I just said, you know, what was going on? He, oh, I was get busy doing something, and, you know, and he asked me what the question was, and he said, oh, it's this. I go, you fucker.
What a...
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, we don't house sit for him anymore.
Yeah. Guys, you're surprised. Man, that's a face point situation.
Anyways, okay, let's get back to the movie.
Oh, you want to talk about the movie? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay, first of all, I want to get the names that were nominated in what movies.
Go for
it. Best director. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, David Fincher, not his best work.
Seems like an odd choice for him.
Yeah. I didn't even know he directed that.
Me neither.
Because I didn't really like it then.
I've never seen it. Yeah. It's Brad Pitt becoming a baby. I'll pass.
Yeah, yeah. Frost Nixon, Ron Howard. Come on, it's like debates, you know.
It's a movie about a debate or a movie about an interview?
Nixon interview, you know. Yeah. It's kind of like they're just going back and forth at each other.
Sounds fucking riveting.
Milk, which Harvey Milk, Gus Van Zandt, that was good.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's an airplane movie.
And The Reader, which is, I think, British? Or
I don't know what that's about. Is that about a person, an old British lady who reads?
No, I think it's about a woman who reads for somebody, and she, I don't know. I don't
See,
know
I got it. It's an old British lady that reads.
Yeah, yeah. But none of these movies seem like, I mean, not even close to The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Not even close. And I don't generally like those kind of movies.
This is your first superhero movie, I would say, right? I mean.
No, I saw, I've seen a few. Right? I've seen, I saw the first Iron Man, which I really liked.
Yeah, okay.
Who doesn't like, you know.
I think it's the same year as this, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
You know, the first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, we went with some of Gloria's friends, co-workers, to see one of the X-Men movies. Mm-hmm. And we just hated it.
Those are not good.
Well, yeah, but we'll get back to that. But this Slumdog Millionaire. Thought the direction was better this time that I saw it, because mm-hmm. I'm paying more attention to it, because a lot of the early the scenes where he's a young boy are really good.
Yep.
I'm going, wow, this is pretty good. But
this movie loses steam.
Yes.
As the kids get older.
That was the most interesting part of the movie.
As the characters got older, I cared about them less.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's where it lost me. Like, finally at the end, we're like, I don't even care if this kid lives or dies. Like, this main dude lives or dies. Like, I don't care about Latika, whatever her name is. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't. You chose your lot. Like, what? I mean, I was done. It just didn't land. But you're right. The beginning is awesome.
The very beginning, it's definitely not a Chamber of Commerce video for India.
No.
It is one place I never want to go.
You know, I have the same thought. And, like, I have a really, like, I have a lot of friends because, when I was living abroad, who would go to India on vacation. Like, hey, man, you want to go? It's like, oh, it's amazing. The people are lovely. It's so spiritual, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, fuck no. And I wonder if my thought of India comes mostly from this movie.
It might come from movies.
Yeah.
Because we don't see the other parts of India, which I'm sure some places are really nice.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But we always see these slum, you know, kind of movies, you know. It's just like, God, I don't want it. It's too many people, too much traffic, too much everything.
Crowded, hot, dirty.
Right.
The movie essentially opens with a toilet situation, which is vomit-inducing.
I had to stop. I almost threw up when I saw that scene. You know? Is that you?
Yeah,
I got a little background music.
Don't mind my lute.
Yeah, so I was really into this, the first half of it, and you're right, then it just sort of, at the end, in the last 40 minutes or so, I started just going forward a little bit,
because
I remembered it. But
yeah, I mean, it's fairly predictable, and it's, I don't know, like, it's like, okay, we'll skip around a lot, like, the ending scene when his brother is, like, finally in the, he, like, throws all the money in the bathtub. It's like, okay, a little heavy-handed here.
Yeah,
this is in the bathtub, like, waiting to die. It's just like, okay,
I
don't know, it just seemed like an odd choice. Like, I'm not sure that character would have done that.
I don't think so. I think it was totally out of character, which made it the ending like, what? You know? Yeah, it just, well, yeah, once I got out of the slum, I was, I thought it was kind of interesting.
I was promised slums. It's in the title. Stick to the slums.
I
more slum, like, less millionaire.
I kind of like when we first saw him on his job helping people at the call center, you know. He was obviously way smarter than most of them.
He's a chaiwala.
Yeah, you know. But after that, it was like, you know, and the whole police thing, you know, just bugged me.
Given the good police of India a bad name. Yeah, so the movie starts with he's doing the millionaire thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a cool premise where, I guess, I don't know what your main takeaway, the main point of the movie was that, like, your, I don't know, like, your intelligence / value is based on perspective, and if you get asked the right questions in the right situations, you might look like a genius versus...
Oh, I practiced that. I know a lot of stuff about a little about a lot of things.
Yeah,
if so only, I can pass for that.
If only you went on New York Yankees Millionaire.
Yeah, right.
Maybe you would have...
I would know everything.
Yeah, you would be my phone a friend for that.
We should mention that Dev Patel is the lead. He's always good when he does. So.
Yeah, I have not seen a lot of stuff with him. I guess he broke that. There's like a British TV show, Skins, which I guess is like very like sexual. And,
oh, I didn't realize that.
It's like teens being kind of risque.
Or like kids?
I don't think it's that dark.
Okay.
But I've never watched. I watched a little bit of like one episode. I don't even know where it was, but I was like, yeah, I don't know. Just, it wasn't in the mood. What hit me? What in the mood for it? But Dev Patel just recently redid The Green Knight. As an A24 film. So I think we're going to have to watch that sometime soon.
Okay. Is that a real comic book
person? No. Okay. No, it's the original comic books. It's like King Arthur Legends.
Okay.
It's like, did you ever watch, there's a Sean Connery version.
Oh.
Where this guy is like immortal and this knight is like charged to like go kill him.
Okay. No, that's interesting.
Yeah. I don't want to say any more because we might watch it.
That might be interesting.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a good remake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Yeah. Dev Patel looking very young. Now he looks very different. 13 years, obviously.
Yeah.
So yeah, we start off with him. He's a millionaire. He's answering questions. The host is way dickier than Regis Philbin ever was.
Regis was fine.
He seemed nice.
Like, he wanted everybody to win. This guy didn't seem like he wanted anybody to win.
No.
And we find out later why.
Yeah, a bit of a chip on his shoulder, huh?
Right.
Mm-hmm. There could only be one Slumdog Millionaire. So we're kind of getting this flashback. Like, there's a question. How do you know this answer? We flashback to see like how this connects to some point in his life, and broader picture. At least in the beginning, we're kind of introduced to this India, mm-hmm. which is, it's brutal. It's dog eat dog. It's violent. It's exploitive. It kind of reminded me of Gangs of New York kind of situation, poor areas of like burgeoning America or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where it's like there's definitely money being made, but it's not here.
Nobody around here is making it.
Right. Yeah. And so we kind of see like him and his brother are growing up.
His
brother's a dick
from day one.
Day one dickhead. Locks him in a bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I love that scene because you get like the full picture. First we get this idea that they're hustling bathrooms.
They own an outhouse or something. Or they're in charge of an outhouse.
Which is essentially a pier with a door with a hole.
Right. It's like a little shack on a pier with a hole in them.
It's a shit. Ugh. House. So they're hustling bathrooms. This famous actor shows up who we know from Cholet.
Yeah, Cholet. Yeah.
So he shows up, mm-hmm. and the little kids were excited. He gets autographed. His brother locks him in there because he's a
dick.
So he jumps through the hole, swims through a reservoir pond of feces.
I'm gonna throw up now. I still, that scene just makes me want to puke.
Yeah. I don't want to get too graphic, but the best thing about that scene was the color of the feces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it wasn't like brown like you'd expect. It was like cooked in the sun orange, right? It was like, oh, that's what it would really look like. That's accurate feces portrayal. So he runs up and there's like a big crowd of people and he's like just brushing by him, doesn't give a care. So we get the idea that Salim is a dick, Jamal is a dreamer,
right.
Somewhat, mm-hmm. willing to do whatever it takes to get things done. Their mom, there's like this weird riot, which I didn't quite understand.
They never gave us any background. It's just some sort of, I don't know, different religion, sect of whatever religion. They never really say.
Yeah, one thing we don't do on this podcast is pretend to understand the geopolitical struggles of other countries.
No.
So they get kidnapped, Oliver Twist kind of situation, mm-hmm. where like this older gangster kind of takes him under their wing and he's teaching the boys to beg, he's also blinding them.
Right. More money, the blind singers.
Yeah. The kids are blind, boys are blind singers, girls are prostitutes, right?
Right.
So they figure that out. They try to escape with... What's her name? Latka? They try to escape with Latka. She's running. Salim has the opportunity...
Latika.
Salim has a chance to bring her onto a train. He lets her go. Mm-hmm. You know, he's kind of like, where's my Latika? He's feeling left out. They bum around for a bit. They start hustling at the Taj Mahal. I love that opening shot of the Taj Mahal where it's like looks like the... It just looks like a pond of doo doo in front of it.
Right.
It's like that's not on the postcards.
No,
that's not what you. It's not the, not the Chamber of Commerce view. Anyway, and then flash forward. The cops are interrogating him. How do you know all these answers? Mm-hmm. You must be cheating somehow.
Right.
And so he's telling them the story.
Right.
And again, pretty cool premise.
I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. Each. You know, he just happens to know something because he heard it from somebody, mm-hmm. or, you know, just things in real life.
That right.
His life up until this point has led him to here, and he knows all the answers.
But again, for me, like, it was such, like, these, like, quick cuts. Like, there wasn't enough of anything to make me care very deeply about any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it looked amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
You know? The direction was cool. It was great.
Yeah.
Of the movies nominated, maybe it was the best.
I think it was the ones I saw, but it was a travesty that Christopher Nolan wasn't nominated.
So then the boys are getting older. They find Latika again. Mm-hmm. Find that she's a prostitute. They rescue her. Salim kills the old guy who was controlling them. The
gangster. Yeah.
He goes out, kind of signs up with the new gangster, comes back home, and he's like, oh, time for me to have my turn. Mm-hmm. And I thought, so this scene was probably one of my favorites, because I think the girl who played middle, Latika, was just like, the way that she played it was like, I don't know, like you could read it as like she was doing it to like save Jamal.
Yes.
Or maybe she was kind of...
Hey, I'm a prostitute.
Or maybe she was... Because like when she walks out, she's like, where's Salim? You know? And she's like... You know what I mean? Like she's like, oh, you're... Oh, yeah. Like, you love me, okay.
Yeah.
Where's your older brother? You know, like... it was just played kind of like...
Yeah, we weren't really sure what her motives were.
Right. Is she totally virtuous or is she just kind of like, whatever. She
likes the bad boy.
Right. And like the way that she... Like the emotion on her face, it was unclear... And I appreciated that.
Well, because Jamal and Latika made plans when they're 6 years old, 7 years old, or how old they were. They made plans to love each other and all that stuff. Things don't turn out that way. Except Jamal still has those feelings, but she doesn't seem to have them.
If every six-year-old plans panned out, right, we'd have a ton of veterinarians, baseball players, and astronauts. That's not how things work.
Yeah. But yeah, that's I wasn't sure. But then she showed up later. I don't know, but
yep. They get separated. So he gets separated. He gets thrown out, and so he doesn't see his brother for a long time. They get reconnected through his Chaiwala job at the call center.
Looks him up on a computer and finds his phone number.
They get reconnected. Yeah, not, still bad blood. He finds Latika.
She's with a gangster now. Mm-hmm. His boss, what's his name's boss? Simca?
Javed?
Javed.
So, basically, situation's all fucked up, right? His brother's working for the gangster who is married or controlling the woman he loves.
Yeah.
But cheating on her constantly, in front of her. So, I don't know what is the thing for, like... Why would an Indian gangster want to be tied down?
I don't know. Unless it's just for looks. I don't know.
I got to take you home to the parents or something? Like, it's just an odd thing. Like, why not just enjoy your life of random women, money, and, drugs? Or maybe not drugs, but whatever it is,
Do whatever
seems
you
odd.
Want.
Yeah, it seems odd. Like, why be beholden to anyone?
Why do any of us want to do that?
That's a good question. Let's pause here and think about that. tell my wife we did not record this. So then Jamal goes on. That's why we find out that's why he's on the show, because Latika watches the show, and he's eventually going to call her as his lifeline. And she picks up, and no one knows the answer. It's this ironic thing about the Three Musketeers, because that's what they always called themselves. No one ever knew. Especially ironic for you and me, because that lost us trivia about a month ago.
I remember, Pathos was the one we missed.
So, and then it's kind of a... We already mentioned the brother gets shot down. He kills the old gangster. He gets killed by the gangster's men. I was also... if I'm a gangster, like a gangster goon, and I run into a bathroom and I see my boss get shot, I feel like... I'm unemployed. I don't know that I'm going to kill someone. I'm more like, all right, well, what's in this house that I can take on my way out?
What's the point of killing him?
Right.
I don't know. Because he was such an asshole. I would have said, oh, you deserve it,
I would look at Salim and be like, are you hiring goons?
You're in charge now.
Right. Or let's raid this place. I don't know. Murder's not the answer. So... Yeah, that's it. And then that's how the movie ends. Kind of a happy note, right? They get back together. He wins the money.
Yeah.
Very uplifting. I think if this movie had ended with Latika dying or just not coming back, mm-hmm. I don't think it wins.
No, this is a feel-good ending. Uh-huh. That, you know, yeah, his brother dies, but he was a dick.
Yep.
And you know, so it didn't really matter, but she couldn't die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you. Happy endings.
Mm-hmm. That's what we all want. We want to go to the movies to feel good, Matt.
That's right. I just want to feel something.
Any other thoughts?
No. I mean, it was fine. And like I said, of the movies nominated, I've seen three of them, or three of the other ones. This was the best one. So, that's all I got to say to that. It was not a good year for film.
No. Yeah, we ran through it pretty quickly, but the way that Danny Boyle filmed India,
mm-hmm.
was... it was interesting. It was like, it was bright but dirty.
Yes,
it was a kind of a weird. It's hard to describe how he did it.
Not like when you've seen New York City. It's always dark and dirty.
Yeah,
this was light.
Yeah,
it was, you know, beautiful and in a way,
mm-hmm.
in its own way.
It's definitely interesting.
Right,
and I think that's a lot of the appeal to this movie too. It's like, you know, that old thing, like, you know, take me to a new place.
Right, right.
This is a new place, I think, for most people who saw this movie. Definitely for me. I didn't know much about India, and maybe this is not a great representation, but...
I wonder how many of these kids were real kids or how many were actors.
Yeah, I don't know.
They were pretty good.
They were. They were good.
Yeah.
I would say second best kids next to, what was the Brazil, everyone gets shot in the head movie we watched?
Oh, City of God.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were the best actors.
That was, that was a great movie.
But these kids are pretty good.
They were,
especially really, the youngest boys,
right?
Like Salim and Jamal, as little boys, were like,
they were like brothers.
Yeah, they were funny.
Yeah, they were really good.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, I was just wondering. I'm watching the, you know, these blind kids, and I mean, I know they got makeup and stuff.
Oh yeah, another great scene when he, like, the question is who's on the $100 bill, and he meets his old blind compatriot,
the guy that he. His brother witnessed,
mm-hmm.
and which is why they left that mob boss, because he watched the guy burn his kid's eyes out,
mm-hmm.
with a spoon, and you know, liquid something in a spoon.
Yeah,
it's brutal,
right? Quite brutal.
And then he gives him $100 bill, and the kid asks him who's on.
Yeah, he doesn't believe him. He's like, "Well, who's on it?"
Yeah, yeah. And he describes him, and he goes, "Oh, that's Benjamin Franklin." Like, what? How do you know?
Those kids got an encyclopedic knowledge of American presidents.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
But yeah, it was a great scene. And then, like, the guy's, like, spraying what I guess is, like, the anti-mosquito spray or whatever, mm-hmm. just, like, defogging, like, the caverns. You know, I don't know. It's just a great look at all the interesting parts of India. Or, I would never want to be there. It looks hot, miserable, crowded, and gross. But, yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
The music was... I don't know. Just okay. Like,
yeah, I didn't even think about it.
Really?
I didn't. Yeah.
I was thinking about it because the train spotting music is so good.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously it's like Western songs that we know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I was like, man, this needs some Iggy Pop or some Lou Reed or something.
They didn't even. Yeah, the music didn't even register with me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it was very like. I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was like, it was kind of like, it's like, upbeat. Techno/hip-hop with a little bit of Indian influence. I don't know. It was fine, I guess.
No Bollywood.
Well, the end.
Yeah, the end.
We do get some Bollywood at the end, which was, I don't know, just like a little cherry on top, I guess.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Didn't bother me. I just hit stop. You know? So, like, I didn't watch the whole thing. I'm not there for that.
Yeah, the Trainspotting soundtrack was fabulous. I didn't even notice the music.
It's not a good thing.
No, I guess not.
I don't think so. Any other thoughts about Slumdog Millionaire?
No, I think, it's worth seeing. Got some bright moments, and the direction is fine, you know, but didn't deserve to win Best Picture, Best Director.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, really great performances, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. You want to guess the scores, Matt? Before you do?
Yep.
830,000 people checking in on IMDb.
Whoa.
A lot of people in India, mm-hmm. I'm guessing.
My guess is you're right. I will say 7.8.
You went low.
Oh, over 8?
8.0.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think more 7.8. I was being generous.
I would say 7. It's in the 7.5 range, I think.
7.5 range, yeah.
It's interesting, but do you think you'll ever watch this movie again?
Probably not.
I don't think I will either. It just doesn't have much... It's so, like, forgettable. I mean, forgettable is not the right word, but, like, it doesn't stick with you
right.
in the way that, like, anything that I think is over an 8 would stick with you.
Like, I saw this movie when it came out, and I didn't remember any of the early stuff.
Really?
Which now I look at it, that's much more interesting than the later stuff.
The only thing I remember was the doo-doo scene and the blinding scene. Yeah, that was all I remember.
I didn't remember any of that. But I remember him being, you know, the cops and some of those and being on the show. But that was it.
Interesting. Seeing how the perspective changes. Yeah, so... oh, wow. Oof. Budget, $15 million. Worldwide gross, $378 million.
Yeah, somebody made some
coins. Danny boy. Danny. Oh, going to make another movie, I guess. yeah, so good for him. The Rotten Tomatoes... critics...
I will go
91, you're close.
Okay.
Audience, over 250,000.
I'll say 94.
90.
90.
So both pretty much in line. Yeah, that's fine, I guess. This is the critics' consensus. I don't agree with all of it. Visually dazzling and emotionally resonant. See, that's part I don't agree with. Mm-hmm. It's not emotionally resonant. Slumdog Millionaire is a film that's both entertaining and powerful.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Is it powerful? Like, when you watch this, like, are you, like, I don't know. Like, are people just, was this, like, the first time that people, like, understood, like, oh, poor people exist in India? Now I'm thinking about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, is that, like, what the average view was? It just seems like not much new ground was tread
right,
there.
Right.
I'm trying to find, like, a positive review from a well-known...
It was a little long too. I think it could have.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where like a little long, but could be longer yeah, and better, be longer, or like better. Cut out some of the
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, cut out like the middle years a little bit. Like I don't need to like them hustling the Taj Mahal.
That went on way too long.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they meet that American couple.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And they rip them off. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Matt, so you want to take a break, and yep. We'll come back, and we'll talk about Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight?
The Dark Knight?
Yep. Okay.
So, the next film of the week is Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight from 2008.
Right.
This is the second of a trilogy. I would say, by all accounts, it's the best of the three.
The first one was...
Batman Begins?
Batman Begins. I didn't even know that existed
yeah,
until today.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... You saw the best of the three. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, because, as we said, this is, you know... fairly new ground to you as far as comic book movies go.
Right, I've seen the original Batman.
You mean like Michael
Keaton?
Oh, I was thinking of
Adam West.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, of course I saw that. That was great. Uh-huh. Who can forget the shark scene?
Yeah, then, or the bomb scene, where like he's running around and there's like a bunch of nuns. And, yeah, yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I saw the first one. I saw it with my nephew. It's fine. You know, I might have seen the next one. Wasn't there one with
Danny DeVito?
Danny DeVito.
And Michael Keaton.
Yeah. The penguin, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe some Michelle Pfeiffer in there as Catwoman. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. But for me, it was forgettable, so I didn't, you know, kind of didn't see it with my nephew. So,
Matt, I think I'm just going to shut up and just be like, what do you think?
All right. I thought this was great. I really loved it. And I was interested in the whole way. I think what I loved about it, what I don't like about these movies so much is special effects take over. And this movie, the special effects are great. But the characters are so good and the dialogue, the special effects take a back seat to it, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it was brilliant of Nolan to do that, you know. I was in all the way. You know, who can forget Heath Ledger? And Aaron Eckhart was great.
Yeah, what happened to that dude?
Yeah, he was great in this.
Let's sidebar that for come back to that, because okay. I'm curious about what happened to him.
Yeah, yeah. And Christian Bale, I mean, you know, he's fine. You know, he's good. And I liked the two old guys, or Michael Caine, you know, is good. They're good. They're a very important part of the whole thing, you know. Mm-hmm. As Alfred. And Lucius Fox was Morgan Freeman. So, you know, Maggie Gyllenhaal, she's always good.
No shortage of stars in this film.
Gary Oldman played against type. Wasn't crazy.
You don't often see Gary Oldman with a mustache like that.
No, it was kind of... First I went, who is it? Oh, it's Gary Oldman. Yeah. You know, okay. But I think from start to finish, this is a great movie. I mean, like I said, I saw Iron Man the same... I think it was the same year, which mm-hmm. I loved. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, I saw the X-Men movie with some friends, and it was just... boring to mm-hmm. me. It was just the same loud stuff. But I think Iron Man was good because it was funny too. Mm-hmm. This was good because it was so well done. I mean, it's beautiful. You know, it's filmed in Chicago. So, I see some of the places I recognize and stuff like that. So it was just... I don't understand why he was not nominated. I don't understand why this was Best Picture.
I think the word Batman is the reason why.
Yeah. Yeah, until later on.
Now they're all comic books, right? So a couple things. You mentioned, you were kind of lukewarm on Christian Bale. Bale, because this is kind of like a conversation that happens with these movies among mm-hmm. like nerd types, or I guess maybe just like general fans. Who is the best Batman and who is the best Bruce Wayne?
Right.
So I thought Christian Bale is the best Bruce Wayne.
Right.
Not my favorite Batman.
Oh, he's great at Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
You can see him totally, the way he dresses, the way he's a style. He walks into a room, blah, blah, blah. And the way he deals with other people. Yeah. So who's the best Batman?
That's a big debate. Mm-hmm. Depends on how you view it. Like the most... So there was a recent movie, like a movie that I saw like 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago or I don't know, whatever time. The newest one. And it was starring Robert Pattinson.
Okay.
And...
I really don't know who he is.
Yeah. Come on, you're not up on the Twilight series?
Missed it.
If you ever saw a movie called Good Time, he was the star.
I don't know what that...
Okay, it was by the same person who did Uncut Gems. Brothers who did Uncut Gems. Okay. It's a good movie. It's on Netflix. Check it out. He's really good in it.
All right.
But he's very, like, emo-looking and sad and a lot of eyeliner. And his Bruce Wayne is the worst, mm-hmm. but his Batman might be the best. Just because the way he looks, mm-hmm. and he doesn't talk much, and, like, the way the mask sits on his face, like, he has kind of, like, a square jaw. Like, yeah, you don't normally think about that when you see him. I don't know. You ever know someone who's like tall, but you don't think of them as being tall because they're such a pussy?
Right, right.
That's kind of how I think about this guy. Maybe he has a square jaw, but I never think about it because he's always associated with being like a little pussy because he's in those Twilight movies as like a weak guy, but whatever. Right. But so he might be the best looking Batman. The best Batman? I don't know. Adam West is probably, my bad.
My favorite.
That's probably my bad. But anyway, so that was a long sidebar. What did you think about like the noir elements of this?
Oh yeah, I mean it's perfect because it's dark most of the time. You know, sinister. The music and everything. You never know what this crazy guy's gonna do. You don't really know who's good, who's bad. The good guys are bad sometimes, but the bad guys are always bad. But the good guys aren't great either. Mm-hmm. You know, it has everything. This could have been a, 1950. You know,
yeah, I really like the use of light and dark. I mean, the most obvious one is Harvey Dent at the end, where his face is just that. That line right down the middle where Aaron Eckhart is half shadow, half light.
Now, didn't that character become a character in the comics, Two-Face?
Yeah, Two-Face was a character in the comic books. I'm not an expert on what happened to him or
I remember a character named Two-Face.
Yeah.
I thought it was the same guy, but...
Same guy.
He dies in this movie, so...
Yeah, I think when you're Christopher Nolan, you can take a lot of liberties.
Right.
You know, again, this is the second one. The first one was probably a huge moneymaker, so they're just keep doing what you're doing, buddy.
Just keep making money.
We love it.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Who, died before he could win the award.
Mm-hmm.
But,
second person to win it that way.
Who was first?
Peter Finch for Network.
Which one was he?
I'm mad as hell.
Really? What'd he die of?
He had a heart attack.
Oh, well.
Right before the Oscars.
I wonder if it was the Ned Beatty speech that went to
him. He's still thinking about that. He had a heart attack.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. No, I did not know that. That's a good bit of trivia. So Heath Ledger, I don't know what you thought about that performance. Is there anything you want to comment on specifically?
I was amazed how nuanced it was. You know, how he had little tics that he did throughout the whole thing.
The thing he did with his tongue.
Yeah, the tongue. That was really... And it's... and his voice kind of changed a little bit in different situations, mm-hmm. I thought. He said one line like he was the church lady from Saturday Night Live. You know, I just, wow, that sounded just like, Dana Carvey or whatever. But
isn't that special?
Right, right. It's that. It's, he could have said that. Mm-hmm. I was just looking at the list of nominees that year. Josh Brolin, who I didn't even remember being in Milk.
Me neither.
I guess he's the guy that shot Harvey Milk.
So. Oh, okay.
Now I think about it. Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder, which today could not get made.
Nope.
that character made me feel uneasy when I saw it. I turned that movie off halfway through it, and because I just felt uncomfortable. Yeah,
I've never seen the movie. I know the character. I've seen clips of it, for sure. So
it's not that funny.
Hmm.
Philip Seymour Hoffman in Doubt.
Oh,
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the movie, but that's not something I hear mentioned a lot when people talk about his best roles.
Right. And Michael Shannon in Revolutionary Road.
Which I've also never seen.
I've never seen either. Yeah. So. But there's no way Heath Ledger would lose this.
Okay, here's a good question. Mm-hmm. Is Heath Ledger the supporting actor in this movie? Is he not the star?
Well, Batman is the star, but he might have as many lines, if not more, scenes than Batman.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess Batman is the star, but the Christian Bale Batman voice was really, really bothering me on the second viewing.
Oh, that was my point. I forgot about that. It was his voice. It was trying to disguise his voice with this.
Right. Yeah, very,
Love Christian Bale. The mechanic, those kind of things. Oh, man.
Christian Bale can essentially do no wrong.
Right.
I mean, we're nitpicking here when you're talking about his the Batman gravel voice.
Yeah.
But it's noticeable.
Yeah, Heath Ledger was amazing in this role. I haven't seen the new one with
Joaquin
Phoenix.
Yeah.
But I'll have to...
Very different takes.
Yeah, yeah. But you asked me about Heath Ledger. Just the nuance of his acting was it was incredible.
Here's what. So upon the first time, I've only seen this movie twice. The first one was in the theater. I just remember like walking out and be like, "Wow, that was awesome." Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't even know who I saw it with because
didn't care.
Well, I'm trying to think, like, because it was 2008 in Korea. Like,
oh,
this is right around the, like, maybe a little bit before I met my wife. So I might have saw it with just some rando chick, you know? I don't know. But it was awesome. And so, like, but then watching the performance again, like, I just found myself, like, filling in the Joker backstory. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this must be this kind of guy. He's like this, or he talks like this way. He talks like this weird, like, 50s gangster sometimes, or like a greaser or something sometimes. Like, it's very weird. Like, so you're trying, I don't know about you, but I was trying to, like, I was, like, making up this dude's life in my head, which to me means it's a great performance. Mm-hmm. Like, if all that stuff is, like, there, that I can just sort of like play with and imagine, and just
you're
like
thinking,
yeah.
Of stuff that's not even in the movie,
right?
You know, he keeps telling, you know, he's got that story about how this his face happened. Yeah, he's got a couple of different.
It's
versions.
Always different, yeah.
Yeah, it's always different.
Yeah, so.
But it made it interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's, you know, because you want to know what, how did this guy end up this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's when a movie's good. You start thinking about the characters when the characters are really good. Which is why I love this movie. The characters, above all, the special effects. Don't get me wrong. The direction of this movie is just out of this world. Some of the scenes, the in the air scenes, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I love the characters in this movie, which made it much better. Like, I like Iron Man, because I like the characters. You know, same thing.
Right, but Iron Man's it's lighter.
It's lighter, right? Yeah. This is pretty dark.
It's dark, and so this is another thing. I think as I was watching this again, because, you know, again, the first time I watched it was 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now watching it, it's so impressive how forward looking it is, and how it essentially predicts. I mean, this movie now, when you watch it, this movie is about the internet,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, Joker is the master troll.
Q. And,
huh?
He's Q or whatever. Well,
not even that. Like, he's not even that crazy. He's just like, he's more overt, right? He's more like, I don't want to say Trump, but like, he's more like just some asshole who everyone knows who's just like, I'm just saying these, you know, crazy things and people are going to follow me. And another thing about this movie is that it also makes you think about the people who are following him. Mm-hmm. Like, why are these goons? Like, because when we watch those old Batman movies, it's like, whatever, like King Tut or Egghead, they have their goons, you know?
They just like... They always have the random goons.
Yeah, they just dress kind of like them, and they're going to get punched, right? And
nobody's in shape.
Well, I mean, they're in 60s shape, right?
60s goon shape.
I mean, they've just been, you know, they just got done smoking a couple of cigarettes and pounding some whiskey. But these goons, like... Because, you see how, like, there's, like, no allegiance, right? Like, mm-hmm. there's a scene where he's, like, burning this pile of money. And then this other gangster's goons turn on him.
Right.
And they're like, well, how are you? You're obviously not paying these people, but they're just following you with, like, this, like, blind allegiance to, like, nihilism and anarchy.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what online culture is. Yeah. It's, like, this idea of, like... I mean, the why so serious? It's like, oh, you fucking mad, bro? Libtard? I mean, it's the same shit, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, it was so, like, I don't know. So, premonitious? It's not a word. Anyway.
Premonition.
It was so, like, future seeing, I guess, right. The inarticulate way
by
of saying
network.
It. Yeah, exactly. Like, now it's one of those movies where you're like, holy shit, how did you understand that this is where the culture was going? And you made this villain, which people misunderstand and want to be like.
Right.
Like, right. You made a villain that's a hero to the people you were sort of poking at.
Yeah.
Levels, man. Levels. Layers.
I mean, this is a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
On all levels. I didn't find anything wrong with it. I didn't think it was too long.
Not at all.
I thought it was interesting. The gadgets are fun.
Yes.
The motorcycle? Love the motorcycle. The car, you know,
Wow, you don't like the car?
No, man. It's fine. But I love the motorcycle. Just everything, the way it was filmed. I always thought his cape was going to get caught in this. Folks,
you don't think he measured? You know, what's Alfred for, right? He's a tailor. So, yeah, about those scenes, I wanted to mention this too. Like, those, like, chase scenes, those car scenes, there's no sound.
No.
Except the sound of, like, the vehicles.
Right.
There's no music. There's no, like, he's not relying on this, like, big dramatic, like, Hans Zimmer score to, like, let you know something important's happening. Yeah. Like, that stuff happens later, but, like, in that moment, it's gone.
Right.
Which makes you, like, kind of lean in and, like, oh, what is going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, that's the music in this, I don't even remember. Because I don't really, unless it's the soundtrack that I know, you know, it's just. You
know. No James Brown.
You're right. At that moment, you go, wow, this is like, it's not even like being in a real, you know, street, because there's other sounds. Mm-hmm. You don't hear any of that.
Nope.
You just hear the sounds of the vehicle.
Right. It's like what Batman hears.
Yeah.
With his bat cowl covering his ears. But, yeah, I thought this was, like, great. Watching it again, even better. I mean, it made more sense. Mm-hmm. I had, just watching it, and then so that next level, like, the Harvey Dent thing made more sense on a second viewing. The first time, I thought this guy's supposed to live. Like, isn't he going to be in the next one? I thought they're setting something up here. But.
Yeah. I was surprised Maggie Gyllenhaal got killed.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Yeah. Did you ever see her in The Secretary?
Yes, I did. That was,
I was thinking about that movie as I was watching this.
I think my brother he watched that movie, I don't know, 27 times. And so I think I caught some of them while he rented it for a weekend. Yeah.
Spader's one of my favorites anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Maggie Gyllenhaal.
I keep pronouncing her name wrong, don't I?
I don't know.
I say Gyllenhaal. Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yeah, in this movie, like, sometimes she looked tired, other times she looked absolutely gorgeous.
Right.
And, I don't know, that's maybe just
how people... It wasn't much of a role for her. There was no meat. There's not a lot of meat.
And I wonder if it was... I mean, I don't remember the first part of this trilogy. Maybe she was in the first one.
It was... I just looked it up.
Anne Hathaway? Maybe she's in the third one.
No. I'll look it up while you're talking.
Okay. Oh, well, I don't have much else to say about Maggie Gyllenhaal, but you can look it up.
Okay.
So Maggie Gyllenhaal was also in this movie, which I was going to have you watch sometime, called the Kindergarten Teacher. I think she was the director.
Oh,
it's interesting. It's on Netflix. It's her and it's basically her and this little kid, and it takes a bit of a twist that's, you know, a little dark, which is why I think you would like it.
Oh, but I like her. I like her family. Yeah,
she's fantastic.
Yeah. Looking this up. It was Katie Holmes.
Oh, that's right. Old poodle face.
Yeah.
Old pouty face.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about Katie Holmes. I wonder what she's doing.
I'm going to have to watch this. Tom Wilkinson's in it. I like him.
Yeah. This is the best of the three. Yeah. So just understand that anything else you watch is going to be a step down.
I think I'll check out the Joker next. If I'm going to do any of these.
Yeah.
I think.
The Joker is more like, I mean, it's more like some of these 70s films we've watched, right? It's more like Serpico and Prince of the City, which is not a 70s film, but essentially it is, right?
Yeah.
It's in spirit of that.
Right. Okay. Well, I might check it out.
Anything you want to say about, like, Gary Oldman or...
No, he was, I love the fact that you think he's dead and then he comes back. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... But he's just good in everything he does. You know.
I wanted to go back to Aaron Eckhart.
Okay.
What happened to Aaron Eckhart? So he does this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking through, like, I don't see much.
Is he a TV guy now or something?
I don't think so.
Thank You for Smoking. I remember that.
Yeah.
Don't know Rabbit Hole, The Core.
London Has Fallen.
Isn't that a
Duty Wanderer? Yeah, I don't know. Like, just, I don't, I mean, very likable. I mean, handsome dude, right? Like,
right. But yeah, he's really, well, he did Olympus has fallen. Then he did London Has Fallen.
I mean, we're like yada yada in these movies. Yeah. I'm sure he made many millions off them. I mean, those movies are huge successes. They're just not like something we'd ever watch.
He's got some stuff going on with some TV and other stuff. Well, hey, he's working, but nothing we're watching.
Yeah, come on, Aaron, get on board.
I mean, he was fantastic in this. I thought he was really good.
He was. What did you think about the way his face looked?
Oh, that looked great. That's some good makeup.
It was like a good balance of like grotesque, but not like over. It was like,
yeah,
it was over the top, but not too. It was like over the top, but like still was okay for a comic book movie.
And Nolan took his time showing us. Yeah. Because we saw that one side of his face, and then it was deep into a conversation when he finally turns.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I guess the last performance I want to talk about is Eric Roberts.
Oh, yeah. Was he drunk or what?
I don't know. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, man, it's Eric Roberts. Like, I used to love that dude. And now here he is.
God. Yeah. King of the Gypsies back in the 70s. Star 80. That's another one.
Yeah, I know him from Best of the Best. So always happy to see a good Eric Roberts performance. And I thought he was good in this. I'm not being facetious. Yeah. I thought he played the part well.
No, he was fine. He was good. I just thought he was he seemed a little loopy at some episode. And the other thing I wanted to mention, I know his name, and I know when I see him, but I can never remember his name. Richie Koster, who played the Chechen. The gangster, the...
With the dogs?
Yeah, because he was the one that got killed when he was burning the money.
Yeah.
So he's in a lot of stuff. He usually plays a Chechen. Okay.
It's the part he was born to play. Right. Is he Chechen?
I don't really know.
Is he just like got that one good accent?
I'm going to look him up.
Yeah, the gangsters are good. The scene where he walks in, where we first see Joker, and he comes in, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Dude, we forgot about one of the best scenes of the whole movie.
Which one?
Opening bank robbery scene.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God. Did that not seem like it could have been a Sidney Lumet opening scene?
That was fabulous.
Like, the way that they're just sort of, like, going through it, they're killing each other. And yeah, just... And he's like, oh, I bet you're supposed to kill me. He's like, no, I killed the bus driver. Yeah, it was perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah, he was actually, this guy's British. He's from England.
God damn
Richie it. Richie Koster.
The Chechens are never real Chechens.
No, they never are.
Kind of how things go. All right, Matt, anything else you want to say about The Dark Knight? I mean, I feel like this is a movie that people have like talked about to death. I mean, I don't know what else we could say about it. But
if you've never seen it, take it from somebody who poo-pooed it and saw it, and this it's just fabulous. It's really, really good.
Yeah, and I don't think we're breaking ground here. You want to guess the scores? And I will say 2.5 million people checking in.
8.3.
You went low.
Whoa.
9.1.
Whoa! Where does it rank?
This is on IMDb. It is currently sitting as the number 3 movie of all time. Wow. It goes Shawshank, The Godfather, Dark Knight, Godfather 2, 12 Angry Men.
It's a pretty good lineup there.
It's a pretty good
wow,
lineup.
That's good company.
That's good company. Does it deserve to be there? I don't know. I mean, it's good. Is it that good? I don't know.
I read Ebert's review.
He loved it. Really?
Because he loved it the same way the same reason I love it, because he loved the characters. He loved Spider-Man. He thought those two movies...
You mean Iron Man?
Iron Man. Were better than what the genre normally is.
Sure.
You know. And he really loved it.
And I mean, this movie lives or dies with the Joker, right?
Right.
They nailed it in the casting, and he was just...
Mm-hmm. Just... Yeah, we usually ask who stole the show. I mean, yes.
I mean, I would say he's the lead actor. And just every scene he's in, when he's getting interrogated, and he's just like laughing as he's getting beaten, he's just like...
Yeah, he's got the kind of body that just bounces right back because he's getting the shit kicked out of him. And doesn't seem to bother him that much.
All right, so let's go to Rotten Tomatoes. Despite being an IMDb, the number 3 movie of all time, it's a little bit lower than you might expect. Not much, but...
88?
Oh, that's much lower. Tomato meter, 346 reviews, 94%. And the audience?
Same.
Exactly the same. Yep. This is a critic's consensus. Dark, complex, and unforgettable. The Dark Knight succeeds not just as an entertaining comic book film, but as a richly thrilling crime saga.
Yeah. It's noir. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I liked it.
Yeah, it's more than a comic book movie for sure. All right, Matt. So next, we are wrapping up this experiment we did in March, which I think we'll probably never do again. But it was fun. We got to see some of the quote-unquote best movies of all time.
And some that aren't so great.
Right. So 2018, Rami Malek won for Best Actor in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Which I've never seen. Have you seen it?
I have.
Okay. I've never seen it.
And I would rather see, I would prefer, this is one I'm gonna put up to you for consideration, right. Willem Dafoe in At Eternity's Gate, where he plays motherfucking Van Gogh.
Love Willem. Yeah, can't wait.
All right, let's get out of here.
Bye.
Peace.
A Philistine.
What's a Philistine?
It's a guy who doesn't care about books or interesting films and things.
Then I'm a Philistine.
No, you're interested in books and things.
No, I'm a Philistine.
You've been shitting in my yard.
I have not.
You want me to hold the chicken, huh?
I want you to hold it between your knees.
So, Jane, what you do here in effect is count boners.
It's fun.